Darren Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. Hi, I'm your host, Warren Markowitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show, live on Spreaker.com, carried on Red State Talk Radio, Blog Talk, and Podomatic. Well, welcome. Good morning. We've made it through the weekend, and surprisingly enough, most of us are still alive to talk about, because you never know. Between the bicycle helmets and knee pads and the weather changes, you know, global warming may have wiped you out before you even had a chance to boot your computer up this morning. But hey, that's just the way I see a weird and twisted world. Many of us are sitting back wondering, when are the adults going to get into the conversation? And I'm afraid to say, I think they're already here, but nobody seems to be listening to us. That's right, folks. America has finally been left out of the political events that shape its future and its destiny. We're not talking about the one side of the equation says you can't give anything to anybody, and the other side of the equation says we want to take everything from everyone else because it's unfair we ain't got it. We're talking about the level-headed individuals, the middle class, the ones that are jammed into the middle that actually make the country go. I'm going to say it. I'm going to stand up for it. I am going to point out the simple fact that when you've got too much flotsam on the bottom, the stuff on the top will get engulfed. America, wake up. We are headed for a place that is not polite. It is not nice. It is certainly not politically correct because every time you say something, somebody's going to get their tush in a bind. Or as I like to say, their panties in a bunch. We are headed for a change in American culture that is not for the better. Because, you know, as my father used to say, you can't conduct yourself if you're always worried about walking on eggshells. And I think we have finally reached that point. So before we get into this conversation this morning and we start looking at what's going on over the last couple of days and what to expect over the next few, remember to check us out at Facebook.com. Remember to listen to us at Red State Talk Radio. And to all those listening on Red State, thank you very much for keeping us there and keeping us in the top on Podomatic.com and at Spreaker.com. If you'd like, you can join the conversation several ways. You can go to Spreaker.com, look up the Warren Markowitz Show, and join us in the chat window. Or if you'd like to be a part of the conversation, look for us at RadioMarkowitz@Skype.com, and we'll patch you right into the board. We finally got the situation working to the point where, even if I tested it right now, it would probably still work, which is good because for some odd reason, well, technically speaking, it was a software glitch. I'll explain it to you later. Maybe you want to use it for yourself. Anyhow, sit back, relax, enjoy the ride, and I'll be right back after this necessary commercial break.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@MarkowitzLawFirm.com. That's MarkowitzLawFirm.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire, a modern lawyer from modern times. cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-605-6818. That's 800-605-6818. 800-605-6818.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
You know, we've all had those points in our lives where we sit back and we watch words come out of our mouth and we wonder, did I really just say something that stupid? Or, as it's happened in the past, really? I'm in a hell of a lot of trouble now. I mean, give you an example so no one feels completely left out. A long time ago, in a lifetime far away, I used to live in Long Island, New York. And I used to work in Farmingdale, and I lived in Farmingville. Yes, those are real places, and you can find them on a map, and they're not next door to each other. They're about 25 miles apart. But needless to say, I was coming home from work one night, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I worked for an armored car company. So, of course, I had my uniform on, and I had my gun on my hip, and I was dead tired. But luckily enough, the Long Island Expressway was empty. And I'm buzzing along at 75 miles an hour, which, by the way, is 20 miles over the speed limit. And I drive right past a Suffolk County patrol car sitting in the median, where they like to hang out. One thing led to another. I realized, I'm done. I'm going to get a ticket. There's no way I'm talking myself out of this. So I pull my car over, I roll my window down, and if my memory serves me correctly, stuck my hands out the window and I told the officer that I'm coming home from work and that I'm armed and a weapon is on my hip. That is when the conversation went bad. That is when, even 20 years ago, when you worried about, or you didn't really hear about all that much, cops shooting civilians, you're worried about the fact that if you've got a gun in a place that doesn't particularly care for you to have one, you might wind up with a bit of a headache. Well, by the time the cop got over the fact that I was legally carrying, I was coming home from work, and I was allowed to carry my weapon, and all my paperwork was jived out, and all my insurance card was there, and my registration was, everything was up to date, and everything was cool with the car, he started on the typical, you smell like alcohol. Now, if you've been working since 12 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 3 o'clock the next morning, and you've been smoking, and you've been drinking coffee, and you've been running around, and you've been all sweated up, you're not going to smell the best. One thing led to another, and when a cop stuck his face in my face and said to me, well, why do I smell alcohol? The only thing going through my mind was, well, officer, maybe you've been drinking. But as I saw those words begin to exit my mouth, I decided it was time to pull them back. And with the cartoon view in my head, I started to drag them back, and I swallowed them hard, and I looked at them, and I said, I don't know, your officer. I haven't been drinking. I'm not a regular drinker, so maybe it's just the smells I've been involved with, during my job during the day. The guy was so pissed off that he wasn't getting himself a new boat from the DUI charge he was about to hit me with the firearm, and I managed not to spend the night in jail or the next couple of years. I was sent on my merry little way with a slow down, get home safe kind of BS. Now, I'm not disappointed that the cop didn't write me a ticket. I'm not disappointed that the officer decided it was the smart thing to just let the man go home because the roads were relatively empty and it wasn't snowing or nothing like that. The point I bring up in this story is language is important. It's important to communicate ideas. It's important to establish parameters. And it's important that people understand from whence we come. It's a frame of reference. It's not always simply they're offensive because they don't like you, or they're being offensive because they don't like my kind of people, or any of the other BS that goes along with the political correctness we're being suffered through. I'll give you an example, and this is all tied together. News has come out in the last couple of days that the United States and Russia are no longer working together on various things, including the disposal of like 34,000 pounds of nuclear material that, well, goes boom and lights up the sky and turns us all into crispy critters. Because Russia can't seem to figure out why we are not willing to work with them on a ceasefire in Syria. And John Kerry decides that we're going to be supporting the rebels in Syria because that's the right thing to do and to try and stop the civilian casualties. Let me explain something to you. Number one, any one of us know how valuable or how important the Syrian rebels are? Does anybody out there really care? And I seriously mean it. Really care to the point where you put your own blood on the line because Assad's in charge in Syria? I, for one, don't. I haven't met anybody who actually gave a damn. And it's not because we don't care about the people and their well-being. We're human. It's called humanity. We're Americans. We tend to stick our noses generally where it doesn't belong because we care about how people are dealt with. But are we really willing to shed our own blood to defend a group of people who have proven time and time again that they don't care about us? They wouldn't lift a finger to help us. They wouldn't support us. And worse yet, they have chosen that if they had the opportunity, they would likely destroy us. As opposed to a heavy-handed dictator who is, I think, the second generation of the family that controls that country and absolutely makes no bit of difference whatsoever to your or mine everyday lives. The only argument that anyone of us with any sort of mindset or education in terms of foreign relations could recognize is that Israel captured the Golan Heights from Syria and they won't give them back. Well, if I had a sniper's rifle pointing from my neighbor's window into my backyard or into my bedroom, I'd probably either remove the sniper's rifle or I'd remove the house, which is in effect what Israel does. But we're not justifying anybody's actions. It's just the only thing that we can really point to. Or you want to argue that Syria is a proxy for Iran? Okay. Again, I'm still missing the so what moment here. The aha moment. The reason I bring this up is fairly simple. We're being placed on the opposite side of a world power. Whether you like it or not, Russia is coming back strong. China is looking to influence its neck of the woods. And Iran is filling in the gaps that we decided to make when we had the Arab Spring and the resurgence of Arab independence and Arab democracy. Wondering how well that's working out at this moment? Because we all know that it ain't working out so good. We've got refugees that we're bringing into this country. And even today, turns out that those refugees are still causing problems because there was an issue of an Islamist plotting a terrorist attack in Maryland. But we're worried about language, and we're worried about offending somebody by asking them where they're from or what they do. And I'll show you how bad it's gotten that walking on eggshells has now become the politically correct way of conducting oneself. You see, with foreign policy, especially with the upcoming election, do we really want to deal with somebody who swears that they've improved the situation in the Middle East by dismantling effective governments? Let's be real. You and I, and just about everybody listening to this show, have one very specific thing in common. We believe that people, or for the most part believe, that people have the right to determine their destiny. what they want to do with their lives, how they want to raise their families, what they want to do for a living, how they want to conduct themselves in public. And generally speaking, we all just simply want to be left alone and have a say in how our government functions. But we don't seem to realize, and that happens to be because where our history and our culture comes from, is that there are some people in this world that have no idea what to do with those freedoms, have no conscience when it comes to interfering with somebody else. Look at ISIS. You think ISIS is a democracy? At best, it's a caliphate without statehood. But its dictates and its way of conducting oneself, the way it deals with its neighbors and people that live there, is all from a 600 or 700-year-old, we'll say 1,000-year-old book that still claims the Earth revolves around, the Sun revolves around the Moon, and Sun revolves around the Earth, and the Earth and the Moon are fixed in the sky. And all sorts of funky things, including the fact that some moron from Iraq has decided to tell the world that 7,000 years ago the first airport was built in Iraq and aliens used it. These are the types of people that we are willing to send money and resources and guns and bullets to because of some political advantage or edge we think we may be getting. That's okay. The fact that there were 300 million firearms and a trillion-plus rounds of ammunition in the hands of the American public were a threat to our own government. Folks, it's been said 1,000 times. It's been said 10,000 times. Maybe 100,000 times. Maybe 1,000,000 times. If firearm owners in this country were a threat to the government, do you think they'd notice? So why are we so concerned with the livelihoods of people that we have no inclination or no common ground with? I, for one, believe, and I've said this before in the past, if we want the problems in the Middle East to stop supporting them, stop encouraging them, stop advancing them, stop arming them, stop bombing them, just stop. Let them deal with their own problems. Now, parents tell us when we were kids, eventually you're going to be responsible for yourself. What they don't tell you is eventually you're going to be responsible for your own kids and your home and your car and all the other fun stuff that goes along with being a grown-up. And you're going to trip along the way. And, of course, we've all done that. We've all tripped. Maybe got pregnant too early. Maybe took a bad job and didn't have an advancement. Maybe lost a job and wound up losing a home or a car or any problems like that. But why, oh why, are we worried about picking sides in Syria? Whether you like it or not, whether you approve of it or not, whether you sure as hell think it's appropriate, the only side we need to be taking in the Middle East is Israel's. And there is a reason for it. The technology that I'm talking to you on now, the technology we use in our cell phones, the technology we use to communicate on an everyday basis, were developed by predominantly American companies with Israeli counterparts. This isn't a political issue. This isn't even a politically correct issue. Being a Zionist, being in support of Israel, seems to be still a negative. Got news for you. I support them. I approve of them. I like them. I'd like to visit there. If you have a problem with that, don't listen to me. If you're that much of an ass, don't bother with me. Because here's the matter. America needs to keep its nose out of places it doesn't belong. That's the biggest problem we have with the two clowns that are running for office right now. And I'm not including Jill Stein. I'm not including Daryl Castle. And I'm not including Gary Johnson. Because at least one out of those threes couldn't find the Middle East if you pointed it to him on a map. And he couldn't identify a foreign leader if you gave him clues. People like that are in no position to be making decisions for anybody, let alone themselves. But when we have to be careful of what we say because it might offend somebody, if we have to be careful because we're picking sides in a fight, if we're picking sides in a fight, don't you think we should understand what's being fought for? Don't you think we should understand how it's being supported or how it's being governed or structured? Listen, we have one issue in the Middle East right now. That's ISIS. Our goal with ISIS is to eliminate it. Period. It is a threat to humanity, to human civilization. It is a danger to the world. And not because it controls great swaths of territory in the Middle East. Because its ideas that it perpetrates are deadly. They're devastating. They eliminate everything we stand for. Whether you support the LGBTQ community or not. Whether you approve of gay marriage. Whether you approve of, women wearing short shorts and booty shorts. Whether you approve of bikinis on a beach. It doesn't really matter if you approve or disapprove. We all respect the idea of individual choices. Some people shouldn't be wearing some things. You know, we've heard the idea that spandex is a privilege, not a right. Some of us like curvy girls. Some of us like skinny girls. Some of us like hunky men. Some of us like skinny men. The whole point is the same. Individual choice is not something these people put forward. Living one's life the way they see fit and they dictate is what's important to them. So I get back to the issue of language. We've got groups of people. We've got two people running for the highest office. And within the next 30 or 40 days or thereabouts, we're going to know whether or not one of them will hold it. We have to recognize one simple fact in this matter. Whether or not that particular individual has got the backbone to do what's necessary to eliminate the threat. And whether or not they're willing to talk about it. Whether or not they're willing to call it what it is. You can't treat cancer if you call it a head cold. That's called a misdiagnosis. Doctors have lost their licenses over it. Doctors have lost their their livelihoods over it. So why are we so willing to call ISIS, not radical Islam, not a radicalized form of a fanatical religion, which in and of itself is really bad, but we're not willing to call it anything other than a temper tantrum, a group of people that don't agree with our ideas. Folks, we all know it. The Middle East itself doesn't agree with just about anything. It is a hacked up, misplaced, disjointed group of people who would probably prefer living in tents because they don't know the freaking difference. And if I've offended you, so be it. Because, again, I don't walk on eggshells. I don't live a life like that. Before we jump to the next segment, I want to talk about one thing only, and I'll leave you with this thought. I was a wedding photographer in New York. I loved my job. I worked 3-4 days a week at most. I spent in the 20 years that I was involved in the industry, I was invited to over 1,000 weddings and bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and family occasions and get-togethers and so forth as part of my job. I saw people at their best. I saw people, some of them, at their worst. And I got stories you could probably write a book about. But I remember one time I was at the Coral House in Baldwin. If you want some frame of reference, it's around the corner from where Amy Fisher's boyfriend used to live. But I remember seeing in this place, was one of the times where you'd actually see multiple brides. And there were two little boys. Remember this to this day. They were about 3 years old. They were adorable. They're both about the same height, dressed in tails, little cummerbunds, had a pillow. Yeah, they were ring bearers. There was one major difference. I say it's a major difference because I noticed the difference. One was black, one was white. Other than that, they were dressed almost the same. And they didn't care. You want to know why I know they didn't care? They were running through this place like a bat out of hell. They were having fun. They were enjoying themselves. They met somebody that looked like them, that fit the bill, so to speak. And then I broke free and I realized these kids have no idea what the world lays in front of them. If they did, they'd sit there and they'd wonder the same thing I was wondering. When do they get taught to hate each other? And that, my friends, is the reason why the language issue is so important. Because racism, sexism, any of the other isms, they're taught. They're advanced. They're a construct that we put forward to either protect ourselves or to separate ourselves. And therein lies our problem. I'll talk to you in just a minute. Sit tight.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Lock it in. And rip the knob on Red State Talk Radio.
Freedom comes with a price. Responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Okay, before I completely run off in a tirade, I want to go back to where we're talking about with language and his ideas. So we started off with the idea of the Syrian issues and all the refugees and, you know, who are we siding with, who are we supporting. I'll close that one up. We don't need to have a refugee problem in this country. We simply close the doors. We don't invite them in. You have a problem at home, you deal with your problem at home. We'll talk to you when it's finished. There's a problem with civilian casualties. Okay. We stop all support, all food, all medicine, all weapons. Let that problem burn itself out. Because it doesn't benefit us one bit. Sorry if you're offended by it. I'm sorry if you're upset with it, but it's a simple fact. We don't have anything to do with it, and we shouldn't get involved with it. I'm not a non-interventionist. I'm just pointing out a simple problem. We don't like Assad, and we know nothing about the rebels. So it doesn't require us to pick a side, because the idea of the enemy of my enemy is my friend? Not necessarily. Anyway. So now that I've managed to poke everybody a little bit and I've turned around and I've identified some really goofy shit that we're dealing with, how's this one for you? James Madison University has put forward a seven-page speech guide. And in this seven-page speech guide, they list about 35 things that you shouldn't say to somebody else. This is one of those hypersensitivity, microaggression, super-duper trigger BS things we keep hearing about. You know, you can't do that because it's a micro-trigger. I might be, have problems with, holding a conversation or discussing a topic. Or it might show that you're being aggressive towards me. How's this one for you? According to this article written by Kate Hardiman of the University of Notre Dame, and by the way, you can find it at thecollegefix.com, just so you know where I'm looking for it. It says the student leaders of this year's freshman orientation at James Madison University were given a list of 35 things they should avoid saying, including phrases such as, "You have such a pretty face," "Love the sinner, hate the sin," "We're all part of the human race," "I treat people all the same," "It was only a joke," "I never owned slaves," and "People just need to pick themselves up by their bootstraps." That was just a sampling. I got a question for you. Raise your hand if you own slaves. I'll wait. Go ahead. Look around. Because I've never owned slaves. I am 100, and let's see now, I was born in 68. That puts me 100 years and three. We'll go with 100 years. After the end of the Civil War. I am so far removed, at least three generations, that even if my family was in the United States at the time, and even if they did live in the South, which was highly unlikely, then I still wouldn't have owned slaves. And I still wouldn't have benefited from it. And I still don't require myself to pay back or be held accountable. It's part of our history. It's part of the situation that we live in. We recognize it. It is what it is. How about this? Aren't we all part of the human race? Do I have to acknowledge that you're Asian or that you're black, African? Because, you know, I'm not really sure where African-American comes in, but black? Or, I don't know, Mongolian? Japanese? Indian? Is it really a necessity or need to break us up to the point where ignoring ourselves and from where we're from, is that such offensive? I mean, this is a college. This is a university that's talking about not discussing these things. And aren't we all supposed to treat all people the same? Didn't we learn that in kindergarten? You're supposed to treat all people the same. Because what I'm missing here is, why aren't I supposed to treat people the same? Am I supposed to treat a person? I mean, here's the thing. Just to probably piss another group of you guys off. If you're as confused as I am about the transgender issue, where you're being told not to judge people by their appearance, how am I supposed to judge people? I'm a fat white guy. I'm 6 foot plus. Don't people judge me when they see me? Am I not supposed to determine, make a judgment call of who I'm dealing with? If I walked into a room and acted like a bull in a china shop, wouldn't people judge me by that actions? So if you walked in a room dressed in a miniskirt, high heels, wearing, having long hair, carrying a bag, and needing a shave, aren't I able to judge and be confused? Which, by the way, is what I saw a couple of days ago at an Einstein Bagels. Where, oh, where has the sanity gone? You know, the terms like people should pull themselves up by their bootstraps. The term bootstrapping is completely acceptable in a world of finance. As a matter of fact, it refers to a technique in which people self-fund their initial startups. It's called bootstrapping. It refers to the straps on boots where you grab a hold of them and you pull them up. That means putting, I mean, it literally, folks, this is a major university that is distributing things that they claim are offensive in tone and conduct. People in general learn about others from where they're from. They understand concepts and ideas. We all recognize people from places. Even if you're from New Jersey and you speak to somebody with an accent from the South and you don't have a good ear and you ask them from where they're from, why is that offensive? I mean, we're not talking about Jeff Foxworthy, who turns around and says, the minute they hear people speak with a Southern accent, they immediately deduct 10 IQ points, even though he said it, not me. I just repeated it. People understand things. People have assumptions. But what is it, what is so offensive about asking people where they're from? Oh, I'm not including you in my little world. I'm not making you feel warm and fuzzy and inclusive. I'm separating you out. You both know it's all bullshit, right? We all know that's the case. You see, what we're doing, instead of including people, instead of being inclusive to others, instead of appreciating who people are, we're identifying for people what they are. You know, there's a difference between who and what. Who you are is how you act, how you treat other people, how you respect yourself, and those around you. What you are the things you make up, are that make you up. Are you gay? Are you straight? Are you married? Are you single? Are you divorced? Are you widowed? Are you an attorney? Are you a ditch digger? Are you a doctor? Or are you a waiter? Those are what's. Those all change. The what's all change. And not all change. Most of the time can change. But just because you happen to be a divorced lesbian ditch digger doesn't make you a bad person. But why does it have to be the way you identify yourself to the world? Are you a good person or a bad person? You see, when we start teaching kids in college that you can't ask things such as, or you can't make statements such as, I'm colorblind, I don't see a difference, I don't see color, maybe you were raised that way. Maybe you were raised to deal with people for their actions and not their color of their skin. Wait a second. Let me see here. There was a black dude back in the 60s that spoke like that, too. Let's see. Do I remember his name? He may not have had much influence in American politics. Let me see here. Hang on a second. Dr. Martin Luther King. He wanted his kids to be judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. But now, 50 years later, 56 years later, everything that man worked for, everything that man bled for, everything that every one of the people who marched with him and protested with him and pushed with him is being dismantled and undermined and destroyed. Because people now want to be separated. And people now want to be compartmentalized and segregated. Because you can't have a safe place to be or talk if Whitey's in a room. That, my friends, is a problem. Overall, whether you agree with somebody or not is part of society. Telling somebody you don't. Here's the thing. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. The Civil Rights era was at its peak. From the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s to the desegregation or integration of schools through busing, neighborhoods. The rules where you couldn't tell people what kind of people lived in a neighborhood because, you can't guide people to black or white or Jewish or Catholic neighborhoods or Christian neighborhoods. You couldn't do any of that stuff. I grew up in an environment where I was taught to judge people for people. I still conduct myself the same way. Do we all have prejudices? Yeah. Do we all think people who move to Florida are just waiting to die? Probably. Do we all think that people who come from the South generally have a lower IQ? Most likely. But let me guess something. Can we all say this with a sarcastic tone and just chuckle about it? Because that's what it boils down to. I mean, come on. Phrases like, let's see this one here. This wasn't something they developed. There is a book out there called, Dr. Maura Cullen's book. 35 dumb things well-intended people say, surprising things we say that widen the diversity gap. Okay, let's also clarify some compliments and encouraging words. So just calling someone cute or saying, I know exactly how you feel, as a no-no. I couldn't hold a conversation with anybody in a college today. How can you tell somebody that you can't tell another person they're cute? Should you tell that person that you'd like to bend them over a desk and bang them from behind? Or that, I got one. Your face would be a great place for oral sex. How? What part, and yes, I did say that with a straight face without even a chuckle, what part of saying somebody you're cute, or how's this one? I know how you feel. Aren't you able to associate with people? That's called empathy. You know, feelings, the same feelings that another person has, being empathic. You know, there was a character on Star Trek, Deanna Troi. Her whole thing was she was an empath. She was a person who was able to feel the feelings of another. Folks, in the end, if we are filtering, undermining, simply eliminating the simple fact that we're afraid to talk to somebody because what we might say might offend them, then we're going to wind up cutting ourselves off from the rest of the world. And by the way, the rest of the world is starting to look at us like a bunch of doped up hippies. And this is an insult to the doped up hippies of the 60s. Because it wasn't their fault that we wound up here. I really don't like to take responsibility for the stupid actions of the people I grew up with. But I'll tell you right now, it's not my grandmother's problem. It's not my parents' problem. Somewhere along the line, my generation took a turn for the sharp left as opposed to a turn for the sharp right and took an extremely long walk off a very short pier. Because somewhere along the line, the generations of the 80s and 90s, those of us who grew up and had kids screwed it up. Because the kids going to college now at 18, 19, and 20, you and I are rapidly approaching 30, you know, our 50s. Those are our kids. If we had them late. If we had them early, we're probably grandparents. And I'm sure there's a bunch of us who can point to that. We have got to recognize that when it comes to communicating with ourselves and others, nothing is off limits. If you want to get away with calling somebody the N-word, the only reason I'm not demonstrating the fact that I don't really care whether or not you use it is the simple fact this is carried on radio, terrestrial radio. I'm not a racist. I don't consider myself a racist. I don't consider myself a homophobe. I don't consider myself an Islamophobe. If you're out to try and kill me or the people I'm with, then I'm concerned with your actions. If you have a relationship with somebody of the same sex, have fun. God knows the married couples who are straight are having just as much problems as the other ones. If you marry outside your race or your nationality or your culture, you've got more problems to deal with in trying to figure out how to raise your kids than having some two-bit busybody stick their 2 cents in and deciding that it's right, wrong, or not. You see, we went from the point of trusting people to be people to teaching people how not even to communicate concepts and ideas. Do you think with ideas and phrases such as, here's a list of them. Some of my best friends are, I know exactly how you feel, I don't think of you as, the same thing happened to me too, it was only a joke, don't think seriously, what do your people think, what are you or where are you really from, yes, but you're a good one, you have a pretty face. I never owned slaves, or referring to older people as cute. Asking a transgender person, what are you really, a man or a woman? You know what? People trip up in life. People make mistakes in trying to communicate. People get confused. And if we are going to put these filters up, and we're going to teach another generation of people that you cannot or should not question what's around you, how are you supposed to comprehend how to deal with it? You know, it used to be, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with individuals in particular, but there's a serious problem with the generation of people we're dealing with today, and it's our fault. they were brought up because the way we chose to bring them up. But there was a time when if you did something wrong and a cop caught you and you were a kid, you were hoping to be brought to the jailhouse, because if you brought yourself home and your mother was there, that wasn't the problem. Your father was the one you were worried about. In some instances, it was reversed. It was worse to be caught by your mother than by your dad. And to be brought home by a cop because you were busy screwing around doing something you shouldn't have done was just as bad. Now we've created a school-to-prison pipeline because we have dictated and eliminated social interaction with people to the point where anything you do, say, or involve yourself with is offensive by somebody, upset somebody else, and it's probably illegal in most instances. And next thing you know, you wind up with yourself in detention because you ate a Pop-Tart in the shape of a mountain and somebody thought it was a gun. Or you wore a T-shirt with the American flag on it on Cinco de Mayo and somebody told you it was offensive because it's a Mexican holiday. Last time I checked, we're in America. And last time I checked, the First Amendment still applied to even kids. And last time I checked, a weapon actually had to be able to cause harm or inflict emotional distress that harm would be caused. Not being told, like some kindergartner, that she was banned from the bus because she threatened a friend with a Hello Kitty bubble gun. You see, language is important. The whole issue of being politically incorrect is that there are no barriers. If you want to be an asshole, you be an asshole. If you want to be friendly to people, you be friendly to people. If you want to be standoffish, you be standoffish. We used to call people who couldn't interact as awkward. You know, we've all seen those people. They have limited, if any, social skills. Now we discover that they're autistic, or that they were autistic, or that they just didn't know how to talk to girls, or they just didn't know how to talk to boys, or they just didn't know how to talk to anybody. Now they're freaking confused. That's what they are. Now they're confused. Now they're unsure. Now they're simply in a position in which, well, I really don't know. And that, my friends, is the matter, the issue. So I ask myself, are we going to let this continue or not? We'll be right back. Sit tight.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-217-0599 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-217-0599 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-217-0599 now.
Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of the Warren Markowitz Show. Catch me every Tuesday and Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Spreaker.com to talk about politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle my fancy.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Okay, let's take the next 7 or 8 minutes and wrap things up. Speaking about it, talking about it, thinking about it, that's really what we try to do here. That's really what we try to accomplish with the show, is we try to challenge ourselves to look at and identify situations in which, well, things don't make sense. We have to ask ourselves the questions, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? Under what circumstances are we really going to allow ourselves to be separated? You know, there are many, many, many things that we deal with on a daily basis. We worry about whether or not we can get to work on time. We worry about the simple things like whether or not we've got the right stuff in the house for dinner. We worry about the issues of getting our kids to their after-school activities, whether or not our kids are safe while they're driving to their after-school activities. We worry about the cost of, you know, dairy products, whether milk is too damn expensive, whether the environment that we're living in is polluted or contaminated, whether or not, you know, there's a thousand different things that run through our minds on a daily basis. And yet we sit back and we look at the situation about it and we say to ourselves, under what circumstances do we continue to allow the insanity to perpetuate itself? Because I, for one, am not interested in worrying about what's going on in Syria or in Egypt or in Libya or in Russia. I'm worried about the places that really have an influence on what I do and buy and say and enjoy. I'm worried about the trade issues involving business. I'm worried about my neighbor losing their job. I'm worried about being able to pay my taxes. I'm worried about the simple things that make a difference in my life. Whether or not my neighborhood is going to maintain itself and there's going to be people in there that would respect the property they live in, the places, and their neighbors themselves. I don't care if you're black or white or Hispanic or anything else or whatever other check mark you want to put next to your name. I don't care where you shop or what you eat or how you cook. What I care about is, are you going to treat me with the same respect you expect from me? And with all this language being put out there and all this politically correct bullshit that's being forced upon us, we're losing track with the very simple basics. The person you're standing in front of and trying to have a conversation with or trying to interact with is a human being. That ends, by the way, when that human being tries to harm you. And it's not with words. That's with doing something that could be destructive to you, such as, I don't know, hit you with a crowbar, pull a gun on you, stick a knife in you, try to run your ass over with a car. Up until then, there's really no big deal here. Whether or not that person is black or white or Hispanic or whatever else you want to call them or isolate them or compartmentalize them with. But time and time and time again, we're being forced and told we can't have conversations because something might offend somebody. It might trigger them. You know, briefly put, we covered an issue involving trigger words and concepts in the legal system. We deal with some really funky stuff as attorneys. You know how I dealt with my family law book when I was in law school? After reading about a third of it in some of the cases involving the abuse of children, I closed the book, walked over to my professor and said, I'm done. I'm not reading this anymore. This is just too freaking sick. And to hear about it and see about it is a reality of this world. You just don't hide it because you want to make it go away. This isn't the Middle East. It says we don't have any homosexuals here, but when we find them, we throw them off buildings or we hang them from a crane. This is America. We choose to deal with things our own way as long as it doesn't hurt the person in front of us. And you got to remember something very extreme, very, very important, is that your rights end where my nose begins. That little sphere of personal space that we try to teach our kids in kindergarten, in the first grade, basic interactions with people, that's real. We're ignoring that. We're now allowing our kids to interfere with the personal space and spheres of others by ignoring the opportunity to learn. My mother tells a story, and this is a quick one. When I was about 2 or 3 years old, I walked into an elevator, and standing next to me in the elevator was one of our neighbors. Now, by two years old, you start to begin to recognize your environment. And I looked up to this man, and I looked at my mother, and I asked my mother, why is this man so dirty? Because to me, he wasn't black. To me, he needed a shower. My mother was embarrassed. The man laughed, and I didn't know what the hell's going on because I'm two. The point being is, today, I'd be offending somebody, even at 2 years old, for asking about a difference. But isn't that what makes us special? Isn't that what makes us Americans? Thank you very much for joining me. I'll talk to you again in a couple of days. I'm Warren Markowitz. This is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
This is Paul Preston, host of Agenda 21 Radio. Join me Monday through Friday on Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in conservative internet talk radio. So lock it in and rip the knob off.